Let's read together James chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. In this first half of James chapter 2, we are exhorted not to show personal favoritism with regards to people of wealth or position. This is a sin which is very easy to commit. Let's begin by reading James chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings, in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there, or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? Let's begin our study of this chapter in the Epistle of James now with some background notes. The Epistle of James is a very practical book. In fact, the theme of James is practical Christian living. Just about every area of Christian life is dealt with in the Epistle of James. James shows us how our Christian faith and love should be expressed in a variety of life situations. In chapter 1, we looked at what the proper Christian response should be when we face tests of our faith and when we face temptations to sin. Now, before we move on to the teaching of James chapter 2, I'd like to share an experience I had this past week in reference to the testing of my faith. You know, many times I find that soon after I preach a sermon, the Lord tests me on the very words I spoke to see if I practice what I preach. Now, remember we said in James chapter 1 that the tests of our Christian faith might be big tests or small tests. Well, the Lord gave me a small test of faith a few days ago. I was getting out of my car in a crowded parking lot, and I put a ding in the door of the parked car next to me, and no one saw it happen. And this was not a beat-up car with a lot of other dings in it. It was a brand new van. Now, let me ask you, what would you do? Would you drive away? No one would know. Would you reason that, well, this makes up for the dings in my own car that no one ever reported to me? Kind of all comes out in the wash idea, right? Would you excuse yourself because your ministry of serving the Lord is far more important than spending your time and energy and money on this problem? Well, I did what I knew was the right thing to do. I left my name and number on a paper napkin, put it underneath the windshield wiper, hoping, of course, that maybe somehow they wouldn't call. They called. He was a lawyer of all things. Just my luck. Well, I told him to get an estimate and I would pay him out of my own pocket or run it through my insurance company. Well, the good news here is that the estimate was only $100, and the car is already fixed. I met the man and paid him the $100, and he and his wife thanked me for my honesty. And of course, this kind of situation becomes a great opportunity to share some things about your Christian faith, doesn't it? Did you have any tests of your faith this past week? Now, here in the first half of chapter 2, we have another area of Christian living discussed, the importance of not showing personal favoritism because of someone's wealth or position. That brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points. So doctrinal or teaching point number one, showing favoritism reverses God's normal way. Showing favoritism reverses God's normal way. Practicing partiality, verse 1, is another way of saying showing favoritism. Showing favoritism because of a person's wealth or status or position or connections is wrong. Snobbery and prejudice involves showing favoritism, and it's wrong. In verses 2 through 4, the example is given of two people coming into your church. One is obviously rich and well-dressed. The other is obviously poor and dressed in shabby clothes. Now, are you going to show favoritism toward the rich person? Who are you going to try and talk to during the fellowship time? Who are you going to invite over to your home? This is convicting, isn't it? We've all practiced favoritism to one degree or another, but it's wrong. In fact, it's evil, as verse 4 says. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? In verses 5 through 7, we see that showing favoritism is wrong because it reverses God's normal way. Verse 5, listen, my beloved brethren. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? God does not favor the rich over the poor. God does not favor those of position over the nobodies. God is willing to choose a shepherd boy like David or a poor peasant girl like Mary for leading roles in his program of redemption. And not only that, the rich and famous in general tend to oppose Christianity, as we see here in verses 6 and 7. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? So don't show favoritism. Watch out for showing more favor to successful people with money over the poor and lowly. Showing favoritism reverses God's normal way. Doctrinal point number 2. Showing favoritism breaks God's moral law. Showing favoritism breaks God's moral law. Verses 8 through 11. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. Love your neighbor as yourself is called the royal law here, not only because it was given by the king, but as Romans 13, verse 8 says, it sums up many of God's commandments. If we show favoritism, we are not fulfilling God's royal law. Your neighbor, by the way, is not just a person living next door to you, but is anyone around you that is in need. We all have plenty of neighbors in this sense, don't we? When we show favoritism to the high and mighty, we tend to forget the people in need around us. Not to fulfill the royal law is to sin and be a transgressor of the law, as verse 9 says. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Now, you may think that this matter of showing favoritism is not an important part of God's moral law. But you see, the law is a unity. Break one point and you break the whole law. That's what verse 10 is saying. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. It's like the links in a chain. If you're holding on to the end of a chain while dangling over the edge of a cliff, which link is more important? They're all important, right? So whether it be do not commit adultery, or do not murder, or do not show favoritism, these are all part of God's moral law, and transgressors are accountable. That's the point. Showing favoritism is a serious sin. Showing favoritism breaks God's moral law. Question: do you spend more time cultivating friendships with those people who have money and connections and clout or with those folks who are poor and can't give you anything in return? Convicting question, isn't it? Remember, showing favoritism breaks God's moral law. Now, what about practical application from this first half of James chapter 2? Let mercy triumph over judgment. Let mercy triumph over judgment. In verses 12 and 13, we read, "So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." These verses are addressed to believers. So we believe the judgment seat of Christ is in view here. Romans 14:10 and 2 Corinthians 5:10, talking to believers, say that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the judgment seat of Christ is for believers, and it's not to decide whether we're saved or not. That's all been taken care of. That's all settled. We'll be with the Lord in heaven forever. But our lives will be reviewed as to how faithful we've been, how we've served the Lord. That's what the judgment seat of Christ is all about. Believers will lose out on reward if we've practiced partiality and shown favoritism. To be judged by God's law of liberty here, verse 12, emphasizes that we have no excuse for showing favoritism. As Christians, we have the ability to fulfill God's moral law. There really is freedom and liberty in keeping God's moral law. And furthermore, if we show mercy to the poor and needy and hurting people around us, it will go a long way in our favor when the Lord reviews our lives at the judgment seat of Christ. That's the point that's being made here. God's rule of thumb is always mercy triumphs over judgment. But if we show favoritism to the more prominent people and the in crowd around us, because of what they can do for us, et cetera, we will lose out at the judgment seat of Christ. Not our salvation, but our reward. So let's not lose out at the judgment seat of Christ because we practice favoritism or partiality. Let mercy triumph over judgment.